Because we don't have the chat open. We just need to see that.
Okay, so go to the top right. Oh, see chat.
Yeah, just click chat, and then chat. We're good there. I don't have no clue if we are all on with Twitch and things. Let me just check real quick. If anything, I should get a notification at some point.
Where's my chair?
Right, maybe, possibly. Come on. I should be able to see it somewhere. Well, here we go. I can see myself now. So we're good on Facebook.
Oh, you're good on YouTube.
We're good on YouTube. All right, cool. And now it's just the last, but not least, Twitch, which I know Twitch takes a while to start.
Hey, Melanie, on the...
I think I just got... Oh, I think we just got the notification. All right. Hello, Sean.
Okay, on the... is it Black Magic, I think it's called?
Yes.
I'm going to just check.
Can you hit camera 2? Can you switch to camera 2? Thank you.
We're just going to do a little bit of camera testing real quick. Ooh. All right, cool. All right, that camera works. So
that's good.
Back to the number 1. And we're going to do Twitch just to make sure I can at least see that we are online. We are with 0 viewers, but that is fine. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Talking Tech. I am Charlie, the Guiding Ohio Online Learning Coach here at the Public Library, and sitting to the right of me is...
Colt.
Colt, all right.
I'm becoming a...
We just found out the answer to the awesome overlay.
Ah, yes. Yes, thank you, Sean, for that. And there's an explanation why Sean ain't here, but I'm going to let Colt kind of finish his intro himself. So please, Colt, finish.
Well, it's becoming almost not normal anymore for me to be behind the camera.
Yes,
it's Melanie again.
I was gonna say,
today.
Does that make it's normal that I'm behind the camera?
It's been 3 months now.
Has it really?
Yeah, it's been 3 months since I've been in my
in your designated
place.
Spot.
I don't know whether that means you've been promoted or demoted.
I don't know.
We'll have to figure it out. But Sean could not be here tonight because he is taking care of a family member at home. So we're going to go ahead and get started with some good old tech news. If not, it's going to be some tech weirdness, we'll call it, I think. Because there's some weird things in tech that are going on right now that I don't know how to explain. But
we're
going to
play
we'll
Who
eventually...
Can Ramble the Longest.
Exactly. Exactly. So do you have anything to start us off with? Or do you want me to start? Going through the old phone.
You can start.
Okay, I can start. All right. So I know this was about a month or so ago. Nintendo released the Nintendo Switch Pro Online membership kind of thing, where it added like the N64 and Genesis games. They're going to add some more games. Well, at least one from what I can see. They're adding the ever so fun Paper Mario, the original Paper Mario from the N64. It's supposed to be just, the typical Paper Mario game, but ported to the Switch. So hopefully people have fun with that. I know they've been coming out with a lot of Mario-themed Lego sets and things, too. So I think this is the year that we finally get a kick with the retro stuff.
Yeah.
Finally. I mean, considering that I just played the Wii, which is not... retro tonight, but in my heart it's retro enough for me. What do you got?
What do I got?
Yeah, what do you got?
All right, so smart tech just in general is up 10.3% over quarter 3 2021 and quarter 3 of 2020. So it is it's expanding.
Mm-hmm.
Rather rapidly.
Very much high stocks going on right there.
Pandemic kind of got people focusing more on entertainment and things in their home instead of expanding out and going on vacations and things, because obviously you couldn't for a good while.
Yeah.
And some people still don't, just out of caution. So.
Yeah, I mean... that's what you can do in a pandemic world going on right now. I mean, you can't really do much. It's just stay home. Maybe just do some cool tech things. Maybe watch our streams more.
So,
you can enjoy us, right? anyway,
Google Home and Alexa and all that.
A shameless plug already tonight.
Shameless plug.
You know what? We can always do shameless plugs.
I missed it. Where's the shameless plug?
You let us into a shameless plug.
I know.
I did.
Well, no, I think I did.
Yeah,
I let ourselves into a shameless plug because we can plug our Twitch streams, right?
Right. Charlie's so, Twitch
our
hour.
YouTube channel.
Yeah, and the YouTube channel and all the very various video platforms that we use. Well, just two at the moment. But so we do have a Twitch channel, which if you are currently watching on Twitch, well, there you go. You're on Twitch already.
You already know.
But yes, we do have a Twitch channel. We have a YouTube channel as well. You can find our Talking Tech, let's call them reviews, Talking Tech reviews, where you get to watch the entire stream that we did live again. Or you can watch some of our craft videos, our history of Madison videos that we do at the Historical Society. There's a bunch of other cool stuff. Like I do tech stuff.
I was going to say, you forgot.
I know. I almost
tech.
Forgot the most important part. Yourself? And we're talking about it right now. Yeah, I do tech videos that teach you how to use some of our library apps, how to use certain devices, all that cool stuff, especially our hotspots are one of the most current things that I remember doing that we actually kind of need to redo because we got new ones. But
keeping up to date. Keeping up to date.
Weekly Good Morning Madison.
Exactly. The news of things going on.
By Colt.
Yours truly.
Yeah, I think I named you actually in the description, video editing extraordinaire and Paige. Colt, how do you like that title?
Oh, that is pretty awesome.
Because I mean, you do a lot of video editing. It's dude.
There is a comment that says you title. Have a new bite-sized tech app.
That's a new program, bit-sized tech. Because a bit is smaller than a byte. As far as data goes.
So bit-sized tech is going to be basically really short videos on how the. I think right now we're just doing downloading our apps. We're going to be hopefully soon releasing all of them at once. We're just kind of showing off how to install some of our library apps, how to find them on your app store. Currently right now we only have Apple, iPad. Yeah. iPad. We only have Apple iPad out right now. Cause that's the only thing we could record with at this point, but we are working on Android. We are working for Kindle. We will eventually get there. Just don't know when. But we know that this will be a new series that will occasionally pop up every so once in a while. And we're only doing, I think we did Hoopla, Freegal,
LinkedIn
Learning, and there's another one. And eventually we'll do how to do, like, set up our Amazon Smile. So, like, how you can, every time you pay for something on Amazon, a small portion of your payment goes to us here at the library and that kind of stuff. It's just somewhere to support us while you're shopping online.
A little bit of a donation.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It's like donating to us while you're shopping online. But, you know, it's cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I use it myself and it's kind of awesome. So, but yeah, we're going to eventually come out with a series of those. Again, don't know exactly when, but Mr. Colt is working on them.
They're coming.
Right now. They're coming. They're coming. Don't worry. You're not missing anything yet, but they're coming.
They're coming.
All right. You got anything else?
Hey, Melanie.
Uh-oh.
Can you do us a favor with the camera?
Absolutely.
Tilt it down a little bit. We got a bit much headspace.
Okay.
There's enough headspace, I think, right? Or is it too much?
There's too much, I think.
Too much? You think there's too much?
Well, because you have too much, it makes you look really
small. See, look, again, the video editing extraordinaire and video recording extraordinaire. He's
a little bit up.
There we go.
A little bit up.
Is that better?
There we go.
We're more center of the frame now?
Yes, we are.
Cool. Awesome. All right, now I'm trying to find. There was an article I saw earlier, and I can't find it now.
Good evening, Madison patrons. The public library's computers are going to shut down in 5 minutes. Please save your work and exit your program. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you, Margaret. See, look, me looking for an article actually helped with Margaret giving her speech.
Mm-hmm.
See, isn't that great? All right. I have a few more. I was since we were talking about tech stuff, I was going to bring up Meta, which was previously Facebook, with the metaverse kind of thing. They released a new VR app that's supposed to bring the metaverse to life now. So you know VR chat, right? You know what that is?
Yeah.
Basically, here's to explain VR chat. VR chat is just basically a online hangout place more or less is how I would explain
it. It's like,
I guess that's what I remember.
It's a lobby.
Yeah. It's just a game. It's kind of like a game chat thing. It's kind of like a mix of both.
Yeah.
It's like a game chat kind of
thing. There's no real point to it.
No, not really. It's just
going and talk to people.
I was gonna say Second City, but that's not what it was. Where you had the islands and all that. It's not Second City.
I don't think I'm not familiar with that. I've probably heard of it before, but
the Second virtual City. Thing that it's not Second City. It's Second Life.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, but not on I guess kind of on the same weirdness scale. But still, it's similar
like
to it.
I'm showing my age by saying Second Life.
But yeah, Facebook released another one. I can't remember the app name, but I saw it as I was scrolling through articles today. They released an app on their Oculus headset that basically allows people to go into the metaverse with their avatar, and they're able to just kind of have meetings and all that kind of stuff, hang out with friends, all that kind of stuff, play games. All while within your a virtual reality headset, which I thought was kind of cool.
Sean had something to follow up with.
Oh, he said the Second Life.
It is Second Life.
No, the
or what
about Amazon?
Oh, the Amazon thing.
Yeah.
The what is it?
Amazon Foundation matches none of the purchase.
That's
cool. Oh. I mean, I guess I kind of don't understand how that works myself. I don't really read into that stuff. I just know that. It's a thing. Truly, I think I just know it's a thing.
But you could talk about Amazon owning its own containers and bypassing the supply chain issues. Because I was sort of wondering why when I ordered things on Amazon and everyone keeps saying supply chain, and I ordered it Monday and it should be on the step today.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Sean has a better explanation for Smile. Amazon Smile donates from the Amazon Foundation's based on a percentage of the purchase. So Amazon itself donates the money, not you.
Right.
It matches a percentage of what you purchased.
Donates,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes more sense.
All right.
All right. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean, that explanation.
He's not even here.
He's not even here, but he's still in our chat right now. He's participating, which is good.
The foundation is giving the money, not Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the foundation for the Amazon Foundation thing, whatever it is, right? I think that's what it is. Yeah, Amazon Foundations.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I kind of got that.
I'm still impressed that they own their own container ships. I don't know that that's technology, but I still think it's cool.
It is. I mean, technically, the supply chain affects everything right now.
You're as big as Amazon. I think you can do that.
Yeah, that too.
Well, that's what this article had said, which that people thought they were ridiculous for buying their own things a few years ago, and now it's kind of like, well, laughs on the other people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing with like their planes and all that kind of stuff too.
Right.
They
have their own planes, their own ships,
yeah,
and their
own ships and stuff. Yeah.
They have their own. I mean, they already have their own delivery system.
Like, yeah, that too. They have their own delivery
system. Their own vans and everything,
which is very wacky. The way that you look at like when you track their packages, they're like. They drive past your house 7 times, even though it's like, I've seen it happen before. It's kind of funny to watch sometimes, but.
Do they have like a tracker? Like
GPS
where you can watch everything the van does?
So what they do is that they'll send you a notification saying that your package is on the way. Uh-huh. So it's basically says like it shipped today.
It ships today, and then it tells you when it's 10
yeah,
stops
exactly.
away.
Yeah, and then
because
once
I've been watching
exactly.
my Christmas gifts arrive while
exactly.
I've been at work.
I've been watching that the same exact way, Melanie.
And so I knew that they should be on my steps when I get home.
Yeah.
And since my parents aren't watching, it doesn't matter that they just heard that their Christmas gifts are there.
Yeah. So basically what it does, like when they're 10 stops away, it will give you a notification from the Amazon app. And when you tap on that notification, sends you to a tracker where you can see where the next 10 stops are. Well, it doesn't show you the stops, but it just tells you like, hey, your stuff is 10 stops away. Be ready for it. You know, it's just kind of like like letting you know.
And sometimes it sends you a picture of the front door.
Yeah. So that is the driver's side of things. So their quote unquote protocol is to take a picture of where they left it just in case you didn't see it, that kind of thing. So, you know, it works. It's fine. I mean, it's a good shipping idea. I mean, it's a nice tracking device.
I'm just kind of impressed that they have essentially their own fleet.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have their own fleet of a lot of things.
Like,
And Sean, you can also rate the driver's performance.
Sean says, like, Rockefeller and Carnegie with the steel industry.
That is true.
Yeah.
Big money.
Oh, I mean, if you think about it, they also owned a lot of the train railroads.
Yeah.
Yes.
At that time. So that's how they got things back and forth between.
It's all just.
Exactly. It's sadly money and power.
money breeds money.
At this point.
Money it's like money. The lady at Williamsburg said to us when I was there this weekend, nothing is new. Everything is the same.
Yes. Very
and
much
I
so.
Had to think
history
about that
doesn't
for a
repeat
while.
Itself, but it sure damn rhymes, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, more or less.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Yeah, more or less. All right. Let's see, what do I got? I guess kind of speaking about supply chain issues, there's been a lot of companies moving to America for a lot of production things.
Because
you know, they kind of outsource things to overseas to where it's usually cheaper to make and all this kind of stuff.
It's not anymore.
Which it's not anymore because of how supply chains work in and all that stuff. But Toyota, car manufacturer, is building a $1.29 million battery plant in North Carolina.
Billion with a B.
Yes, billion. Very much so. Own the mines. Okay, Rockefeller owned the mines, trains, mills, and trucks.
Horizontal business development.
Okay. Again, thank you, Sean, for the explanations, even while you're not here. But yes, so
Sean
Toyota. Huh?
So Sean keeps us going.
Yeah, that too. I mean, we kind of stop mid-sentence sometimes and we're just like, okay, Sean said something, let's see what it is.
The great one.
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Acknowledge the elder god.
Well, he is the OG tech.
He is
the tech guy. Yeah.
News.
Oh yes,
yes, because he did this before he came here.
Exactly.
Welcome to Sean Loves the Stream.
Well, I don't know if we'd go that far.
But yeah, so Toyota's building a basically $1.3 billion battery plant in North Carolina because of the supply chain issues going on. So, you know, obviously Toyota is not a Japanese.
Yeah, Toyota's Japanese.
Japanese?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Japanese motor company that obviously is shipping their parts back and forth, you know, that kind of thing. It's getting harder to do that. So they're moving it over here so that they can meet the supply and demand of American, you know, car manufacturing over here, especially for how much we buy cars and use cars and all this kind of stuff.
And they're to build on their future electric vehicle plans.
Yes, exactly. EVs are becoming the next big thing, really. I mean, electric vehicles are becoming huge things lately.
There's the push to have almost all of our vehicles be electric, or all of our vehicles be electric by like 2040.
2030, I think it was something like that. I don't remember exactly.
I think 2030 was like a quarter or a half of all of our vehicles.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember exactly. I've read articles on it myself, but I don't remember really that well. So, but yeah, I know a lot of manufacturers are starting to move on to EV productions and all this kind of stuff, just for environmental sake and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, good on that for research and development, I guess. But yeah. You know, Toyota's doing their part in getting batteries started and thought of. Is there anything?
Would they say it would produce enough batteries for? I was looking at the.
Oh, hold on.
Article.
You just to exit out of
you
it.
Just close it out.
Yeah, I just closed it out because I thought, okay, we're kind of done with this one. But do you remember what you were gonna say or?
No, it's
good
lost.
Evening, Madison patrons. The Madison Public Library is going to close in 10 minutes. Please make your final selections and bring them to the checkout desk at this time. Pick up all copies and printouts. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you,
Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. But yes, sorry about that. I didn't realize you were
kind
of going off the article there. That's my fault. I'm just so used to like.
It was about the production. Capacity or
yeah, well it will up it by far, hopefully. But yeah,
I mean, thought there was some information a couple of months ago about how some of the other car manufacturers were going to do chip plants over here.
Yes.
Did you guys talk about that last month? I feel like
maybe? I don't know if we talked about that because I was not here. It was Colt and Sean.
Okay. I feel like this would have been where I heard it, but maybe I just made it up.
I think we've been talking about it just around the library a little bit.
Right. Okay, maybe that's it.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, we do that
that's
a lot.
That's what we do.
We do that a lot. But yes, chip manufacturing, because there's a chip short or currently a computer chip shortage going on. A lot of car companies have basically, dead cars, you know, kind of just
they're
sitting
cars
in
without
lots.
The computery parts.
Yes. That make the main functions work.
As we move from less mechanical regulated.
Yeah.
Things and more computer-regulated.
Companies like First Energy across the U.S. formed a group to build EV charging stations across the U.S. freeways, like 80, 90, etc. Okay.
Cool.
So EV charging stations along the way. That's kind of cool.
I know.
Going back to the EV thing.
So that we had, companies. Not even a company. I don't know why I said we.
Yeah, but. Yeah, it can continue.
companies were sending production overseas because it was cheaper, not because there was a lack of materials. We have the materials here to continue production, and it's no longer cheaper to do it overseas, and we have all of these cars that need chips that in the long run, it's cheaper to
do
just
it over
produce
here.
It here.
Well, considering the logistics of things, you know, you don't have to pay for shipping. The ever rising shipping cost of going back and forth. You just have to ship it back and forth here and then, you know, call it a day. So it shouldn't be as expensive. Also, to add to the EV thing that we talked about earlier, 20K stations by the end of 2022 is what Sean is saying. Along major freeways.
20,000 stations along all of our freeways.
That's, that's impressive. That would be awesome to see.
But it matches the push.
Yeah, it matches the push to get things going.
Electrified.
Yes, very much electrified. I know they're talking about certain driving lanes can be wireless charging stations. Which I don't know how that's going to work.
Well.
Yeah, there's
right here.
There's a push in. Do you have it? Yeah. Well, yeah. That's one thing.
I have wireless charging on my phone.
Yeah. So some phones have the capability of charging wirelessly. So you don't have to plug it into the bottom of your phone. Mm-hmm. Mine doesn't. Mine's an older one. I think mine was just on the edge of that.
So the library here, Sean is
Sean's also
being
again,
our
kind of being our guiding light with this kind of EV stuff right now.
And it's slightly a
teleprompter. Sean's kind of being our teleprompter right now.
Yeah.
He says that MPL is working on a grant with the Ohio EPA to get electric vehicle chargers for our parking lot. He says F0.
I think that's
induction chargers.
So that's what you have, Colt, when you lay it on.
Yeah, induction chargers mean not really wireless, because there's no wire going between the battery and the charger. It's just you set it on top of it or near it.
Yeah, so basically it's the same idea as the phones. Except these lanes, as you're driving down the freeway, are supposed to do the same exact thing as charging your phone wirelessly. But the only thing is that with like rubber tires and that kind of stuff, it kind of doesn't work very well. Oh, we're playing F-Zero on NES or SNES. Oh, I think I know what he's talking about. He's talking about the charge.
The racing game.
Yeah, the little racing game.
I know he's talking to me because I haven't played anything.
Well,
on that.
So in F-Zero, there's these pads that you, when you fly over, it's supposed to. I don't remember if it was.
It's going into a lane to charge.
Yeah, it's something along those lines. It was like because you had like a basically like a gas meter, and if you didn't go and onto these lanes, you would run out of charge.
Okay, because
it was kind of like one of those distance based racers. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. But yeah, it's kind of the similar idea to that. If anyone's played F-Zero before, you know, it's kind of cool. Well, yeah, before your time. It was before my time too. The only reason why I know F-Zero exists because of Super Smash Brothers and Captain Falcon. That's the only reason why I know that exists.
Yes. Induction charge is magnetic.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see how this works on roads. major roads and stuff. Because then, like, ice and stuff gets involved, and it's just, especially up here. I know they're kind of pushing it in California more because they don't really have to worry about it.
And how is it? How's it going?
Wheels will not matter. Okay, so rubber contact won't matter.
So it'll be
just kind of
proximity.
Like, yeah, proximity to the ground to the car, I guess. Yeah. So I mean, that's still kind of cool. I mean, just me going through my head of like, conductors will and like contact. Insulators.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it probably won't be that easy to do because you know rubber is an insulator and. All that kind of stuff. So you find out what you find out, I guess, right?
Well, maybe if we decided to start being serious about our public transportation railway system, you know, like some other countries, maybe we could have good electric transportation that isn't car, but that's a separate issue.
Well,
there's a... Something like that. Well, there's going to be the Hyperloop.
Oh, that's it.
The vacuum tube.
Yeah, right.
Train thing that's supposed to go from here to Chicago to Buffalo? Something like that, I think. Because it starts in Buffalo and it ends in Chicago. And it's supposed to come through Cleveland and we're one of the stops. Something like that. Because I think they also will stop in Erie.
That's a long tunnel.
It is.
That's a long tunnel.
Yes, but it's a lot better than driving in the winter.
Oh, yes. Very much so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. I mean, yeah, we need to focus on maybe some transportation ideas, but for right now, we can't really do much about it. So it's what we got to deal with now, and we'll see what happens in the future, right? Right?
Suppose so.
All right, so you got anything newsworthy, or do you want me to move on to another Toyota story?
This one...
Oh, yes, and a second comes from Pittsburgh to Cleveland to Chicago. So they're also going to do Buffalo, Cleveland, Chicago, and then Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Chicago, supposedly. As we go into silence, as Colt waits and looks for a news story. I mean, that's fine. I'm not going to worry about
it. This is about
different stories out there.
This is about a footballer or soccer, as we call it in the States, who got a concussion from fighting over getting, what is it, head ball?
Yeah.
Everyone kind of jumps up.
Everyone jumps up and tries to
hit the ball with their head. And he got a concussion from that.
I'm doing that. Okay.
And so he's using virtual reality to...
like as
train
his physical therapy.
Yeah, like as
oh,
as
that's kind of awesome.
So he does animated training drills on a simulated pitch designed by professional coaches. So he does. He trains in VR.
Well, I know, like I remember reading. Remember the Guinness World Record gaming books?
Yeah,
with the world records for video games and stuff. They had a pad that if you had to wear specific shoes but it was, you would hook it up with your VR headset and you could only move within this like circle radius where you were kind of strapped at the waist, but it was a way of movement. It wasn't like you're using control to move around.
It was actually running. It was like the slippery shoes.
That's what it is.
On the bottom almost,
it would kind of let you slip around, and if you needed to stand you could. But that's kind of what I'm getting from this. Maybe it's a little bit different than that, but that's what I'm kind of understanding it as. Because I know that a lot of places, a lot of physical therapy places have kind of went to virtual reality for a lot of this kind of stuff because it helps them kind of go for it. But, you know, not everyone will, you know, suffice from VR and virtual reality.
He says that the simulation provides the same benefits as practicing with a real ball.
Good evening, Madison patrons. The library is now closed. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you, Margaret.
Which I don't know how I'd do that. I mean, maybe, like, especially as, like, a pro.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's definitely going to be hugely different than
it's gonna be
actually being
different.
On the field and, you know, actually doing this kind of stuff in person. You know, it's going to be weird at first, but, you know, you do it.
Different.
Yeah, I know, but you get used to it and you're like, man, this is kind of cool.
Or still, but without having a physical ball to kick, right?
Well, so they also have those things to where they have, how do I say, like, it's like kind of like a ball and a metal rod.
Like a
like you know, the soccer game, like the arcades, they have like a ball that sits on the ground, or maybe like sits on a pedestal, you pull it back, you let it go, kind of thing. Like, you remember, like, those kinds of arcade games.
All right, yeah.
That's basically what it's gonna be. But you kick it forward and then it just kind of retracts back slowly. So it's not like you're it's not like an immediate like clunk back like your typical launching arcade machines kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking concept wise. But again, I'm not sure. Maybe they have a certain setup. Maybe it's kind of cool. Who knows? Are you trying to find more details on it or move on to the next story? Unless you want me to do one.
For header training, which is jumping up, trying to hit the ball with your head, says players head a virtual ball, letting them practice the movements and techniques that would be applied in a real game without the risk of an impact to the head.
Okay, so it's basically lowering the risk of head contact.
Not learning the risk, but it's he's doing the act, he's practicing for the real action without the risk
of getting
a physical
hit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says you still have to time your head correctly and you still have to position your body correctly. You have to get in position. What you would do in the game.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
It is being developed in line with research currently being undertaken by Manchester Metropolitan University into the long-term effects of concussion and subconcussive events on athletes.
Wow.
Hmm.
So maybe coming to the States for football eventually, maybe, possibly. And we're losing connection.
Oh, boy.
I just kind of see that from up there. Oh, wait, we're back.
Okay.
We're back.
We're good.
Really awesome freeze.
Well, I know that's what I'm saying. I was putting my bottle down and it was just kind of like, whoop, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But all right. So, well, you got for your.
Yeah, from that. That's the
virtual reality with physical therapy.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. Moving on to another Toyota thing, let's call it. So, Toyota wants to expand on hydrogen combustion engines.
Okay.
So, you know, hydrogen, you know, very, very interesting chemical.
Very plentiful.
Yeah,
right?
Very, very much so. But they're talking about making it a full-on production engine, right? So this would be to get rid of gasoline or fossil fuels as a possibility. I mean, we probably won't ever get away. Well, we need to find different lubricants for
it's
that.
It's going to be a
but
while before
still,
we get completely away from fossil fuels.
Which that's fine. That's cool. I mean, cars themselves are just so expensive right now. It's just that kind of thing. But again, they may get cheaper along the line at some point. But again, with the hydrogen combustion engines, they're expanding. They want to expand it to their kind of like performance model cars.
Okay.
So, I mean, Yaris. Not what I would expect as a performance car, but they've been coming out with some pretty interesting concepts for this kind of stuff. But they're also talking about expanding into the hydrogen racing side of things, because a lot of your car companies are going to hydrogen combustion engines as like prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like how in GTLM there's prototypes, that kind of thing. That's what they're kind of looking into.
You know what? If hydrogen engines provide a good car sound, good engine sound, I'm happy.
You're happy with that?
Yeah.
Compared to the electric where it's
electric,
silent.
Electric doesn't make a sound, well, which is it's fast, which is cool.
I remember.
But it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't really.
I get it.
You know?
I mean.
It doesn't
feel
the same.
At least Tesla makes it fun. You can change your horn, but that's
it. Yeah, right. But like it doesn't have the vroom.
Yeah,
you know?
I get
it doesn't have the vroom.
Well, I was talking about. I remember this story from like a few talking texts ago that we talked about I think it was a hybrid car, or it was an electric car, that you could change the engine noise.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it wasn't like tubes. It wasn't like what are they called?
The changeable.
The changeable
variable, like, exhaust.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
Something like that.
But it's not like the flap system on an exhaust.
Yeah, no, it's like
it's literally like speakers. Yeah.
I think it was Audi.
I think it was Hyundai. I think. I'm not sure, but I know it's a thing because I've talked about it before.
We go.
But basically, you get to choose between different vehicle sounds, specifically Hyundai vehicles, and you can change it to whatever you want it to be. If you want it to sound like one of their race cars, you can. If you want it to sound like the typical regular engine, you can. I know Melanie's looking at me weird from saying that.
It just sounds like cheating. If you're going to drive like a little teeny car and have it sound like a race car, that just seems like cheating.
But imagine a smart car that sounds like an F1 car.
Or that'd you be could hilarious. Have it sound like a clown car.
I know. Me and Sean were nerding out. We're like, we can make it sound like TIE fighters, or we can make it sound like X-wings or something, like flying. And we were like, that would have been awesome. I think that would be great.
I just think I have no words for this.
We're no longer trusting Charlie with any sort of
with news
car technology. Yeah, not with news. I mean, we're just not. No.
Yeah, I know. No. But yeah, I just remember that from a while ago, because we were talking about this on one of the talking texts.
So did Colt Google it to find out, is it really Hyundai?
It wasn't on the first page of Google.
Okay.
It wasn't, I know. It was, but like I said, it was an article from like months ago, so I don't know how far down the archives you have to go to find these things. But yeah, hydrogen engines. They're hopefully, maybe, possibly the next big thing with combustion.
I'm going to keep looking.
We'll see if Colt can find it, because if you can find it, then I'm not crazy.
No, I know you're not crazy. Well,
yeah.
I remember the article too. Okay.
Okay, you do, but you just don't remember what the car brand was.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, that's understandable. So as Colt looks for the next article, I'm going to talk about some phones here. So you know how phones have been coming out with like odd, weird, cool like camera designs?
I don't think
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
yeah, Asus, like the camera housing.
Asus has like the flip camera that basically takes the rear camera and makes it the front camera. So this phone company named Oppo. I think people have heard of it before. I may not be crazy.
Oppo or Oppo?
Oppo. I don't know how you actually pronounce it, so if I'm butchering it, I'm sorry. But Oppo has been teasing a retractable rear camera. Like Asus has done in the past and other phone companies have done in the past. Like, you know, like how like on a like an actual like phone or like an actual camera, like, or some of them, like the small digital cameras, the lens kind of goes out.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what this is.
So it's a moving focus almost.
Yeah. So like it focuses in and out. Mm-hmm. And when you turn the camera on, it kind of pops out. And they're testing this technology to, you know, if you drop it, it retracts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it should be able to sense that it's falling to where it will retract the camera quick enough.
What was the company? It was a motorized, like, slide that would come out of the top of your phone.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I don't remember what company that was either, but it kind of just popped up out of the phone.
Yeah.
Like, from the top here, it popped up so that it would. I don't remember who
it was. Was it Energizer? Because
you know what, you maybe were, well, Energizer. I talked about Energizer with being the
because Energizer had the brick.
They had the brick phone with the biggest battery life.
It was a phone that was like that thick.
Like if you guys remember the original cell phones, like the big old white bricks that you had to actually have like a carrying pack for, those ones.
Yeah.
Like imagine that, but flatten it in like a waffle iron or something, or like a cooking iron or something.
It wasn't beige.
It wasn't beige, it was blue. It was like a bright Energizer blue.
Yeah,
like Energizer actually
came in blue and red. Blue and red.
But it was just so weird. I was mesmerized by it, but I was like, I don't want a phone that lasts like 7 days.
It's your laptop.
Oh yeah. Okay. Are we gonna
find it?
You're going to try to find the Energizer phone? We're trying to find the Energizer phone?
Yeah.
In the meantime, while Colt was talking about Energizer phones, so I don't think this was the article that you were talking about, but in April,
yes,
Time had an article that said electric cars can sound like anything.
It was BMW.
So Time said BMW, but it was also Audi and Ford.
Audi and Ford are doing it too. Okay.
So I was right two times.
You were close. I was right two times. But I remember there was one article that was all about Hyundai doing it with a EV, like a hybrid.
Ford has turned to elite sound designers to create new noises that represent the brand.
Okay. So Companies I'm like imagining.
BMW, Audi, and Form often frame their work as an effort to encode their brand's ethos into a sound.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Because I remember.
The longer it takes for people to switch to electric vehicles, the more damage internal combustion engines will do to the planet.
Hmm.
But this whole article is about how they're trying
to find the sounds.
All right, Colt. I'm done. You're gonna have to
switch the camera too, so we can kind of see. So this is basically the size of your phone.
Except all they're seeing is the awesome.
Hold on. Let me just lay it down. So this is the size of the Energizer phone.
I'm trying to get it to focus.
So think about that. The average size of a phone, right? You know, it's what? Maybe quarter of an inch?
Yeah.
Maybe almost half an inch? Maybe.
I'd go with half an inch. Yeah. Well, in a case, it's half.
Well, in a case, about half an inch. This is a phone with a battery pack case on steroids. Like, we're talking a good almost 3-4 inches of phone back going on here.
It had like 18,000 milliamps.
And how long did it say it could possibly last for?
Like weeks.
It was like a week or two. If you put it on the highest battery saving mode, it's supposed to last like two, almost 3 weeks.
So that's like the charger that I just bought for if we ever get stuck in a hurricane again.
Yeah, but imagine carrying this around as an actual phone in your pocket. Yeah. Like you know the phone bulge you'll see in that pocket when you're walking around.
Yeah, but then it's like the phone pull on the pocket. So then it's like the.
It would be like trying to carry a brick.
Yeah.
It would be the same as trying to carry a brick.
Especially when it dies.
It's a battery.
Well, yeah, and imagine that thing dying. You know how heavy that's going to be. You know how heavy that's going to be when it's dead?
Well, it's going to be the same weight when it's working, too.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, you know.
It will literally be a brick.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, then the question is, do you have to make pants with better, like, rubber pockets?
Or if anything, I would say the easiest way to do it would be to start carrying it in, like a satchel or a purse or something. Yeah, right. I would say that would be the easiest thing. Oh no, not again. But yeah, no, this thing was insane when I talked about it, because like this thing can last up to 3 weeks on a full charge.
I'm gonna
on battery saving
relook
mode.
Up.
It was crazy.
Now I'm just thinking about a whole bunch of guys with Merces for their phones that are
for their Energizer phones that are like 3 inches long or 3 inches wide and everything.
It's gonna be great.
I mean, I already come in with a backpack. Me and Joe both come in with backpacks. So, I mean.
Yeah, but that's not a Merce.
I know, but still, it's like we can carry that stuff without having to carry the man purses and all that kind of stuff.
It could allegedly last for 50 days on standby.
50 days on standby.
50 days on standby.
So that's if you left your phone sitting here.
Just not touching
the screen off.
It would live
for 50
days.
At all.
That's absurd.
That's crazy. But I give props to that because, you know, we're looking into better battery lives, but in smaller form factors.
I want to know how many they sold.
I don't know how much it is. I'm guaranteeing since it's like a one-off, it's going to be expensive.
Regular cell phones seem awfully expensive.
Well, yeah, that too. But, you know, that's another thing.
But there's also a point where people won't pay for it. So it can't have been too high, right?
Well, it depends on what's inside of it, how new, how old it is. Excuse me. How big the storage capacity is.
It did have a pop-up camera.
Did it have the pop-up camera that we were talking about?
Top, yeah.
Yeah, because that was kind of like some of the oddities of that phone. It was just like it had the little pop-up camera on the top, and then it had the big bulging battery in the back.
It's a strange idea.
Yeah, and especially it coming from a battery company.
So I think it was a French manufacturer that Energizer licensed.
To make it?
To make the phone part.
Okay. That makes more sense. Okay. Okay.
Still.
It's an odd concept, but I think it's awesome.
It's kind of awesome.
I know we're talking about like old tech news, but I think I even said we talk about old and new tech news anyway. So
yeah, but everything old is new again.
Yeah, exactly.
Retro is cool.
Retro is coming back.
Retro is cool.
I mean, maybe some things not to bring back, but...
Yeah, but they still bring them back, too.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, cool. I didn't want to see... I didn't mind Janko jeans. Remember the big old wide jeans?
Right.
Yeah, but those are something like I was like... Yeah, pants and stuff like that.
That, too. I mean, there's parachute pants, but that was what? That wasn't the 90s. Even...
Yeah.
I'm
I was
like,
around for the first hammer pants. And now they're back, I think.
They're back somehow. They've come back from the grave with a vengeance. They want people to like them. Oh, geez. And then...
Weird pants. Weird pants.
We have gone from phones to pants.
Yes. Yeah, this started with...
Well, I mean, we talked about retro stuff, and that was the thing I could remember coming back at one point.
Specific rant started with...
a popping out phone camera.
No, right before that.
Even before that?
Right before that was the car playing engine sounds.
Yes, that was the first rant.
And I don't remember how we got to pop-up cameras, but we got there
somehow.
It was Charlie's tech story that I interrupted.
Yeah, it's fine though, because this is fine. We're communicating at least.
We're communicating.
We are. And we're incorporating everybody progress. Here. It's not just me and Colt today.
Yes, and I think there are three people who are watching on Twitch.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's good.
That's cool.
It is.
That's good.
All right.
It's
then
very exciting.
Do we want to continue on more phone things, or are we going to talk about something else that you have?
All on you.
All right, cool. It's all on me now. All right, cool. So another Oppo story. Phones have been coming, how do I say, bigger, right? You know how like they've been getting bigger and bigger in screen size, you know, but people want tablets as a phone, right? You've seen those? Yeah, phablets and stuff.
The Verizon guy tried to sell me something like that, and I said no.
So there are ones out there, like Melanie mentioned, there are flip phones out there right now.
Yeah, he really thought that's what I needed.
The Z Fold is one of them. I think actually both of them are called Z Fold. Yeah.
I would love to have one.
Well, but it's going to be the same thing, like the thickness of things. It's like this thing is going to be maybe a good inch or two out of your pocket.
Yeah.
You know, like width wise, you know, or depth wise, I should say.
But it gets small. It's like the size of your wallet. Great.
No. So Samsung had issues with their screen breaking about 3-4 months into use, like consistent use.
That was with the first generation.
Yeah, first generation, they've gotten better, but they still have the issues with the folding screen. It's just one of those things.
It's new tech. Yeah. They gotta
iron
out the kinks.
The original didn't have a good enough filtration system to keep dust particles and sand, whatever you were bringing into your pocket, into the phone in the hinge. So the hinge would allow things in. Thus, the folding part of the screen would start to pop off because of all the stuff that you were accumulating in it, which Samsung has worked on, and they've hopefully made it better. But they also have the one that flips up like a typical old flip phone, and then there's the one that folds out to the side to make it into more of a tablet-esque size.
Motorola Razr.
Yeah, the Razr came back.
The Razr's back.
Yes. Well, I've heard bad things about the Razr, too.
I
know, but it's cool. It's like, I would love to have like a Razr.
It's a cool name, too.
I mean, Motorola has always been.
Yeah, but I don't think it was that good the first time around.
Yeah. But it was kind of like a step into the whole.
It has a cult following.
I mean, it was a cult following because it was like one of the first cell phones released to the public. Especially coming from a big corporation like Motorola. Like, Motorola was actually decent at one point with their phones, and that was their first start into the tech, like, phone side of things. And then once they split, they kind of haven't gotten their niche for phones, really. I mean, I've been looking at Motorola's.
They still make Motorola phones.
Well, yeah, they make smartphones and stuff, but I'm just saying, like, you know, since they split into a solutions, which is basically like your walkie-talkies and all that kind of stuff, like their typical handheld radios, to, and then there's Motorola, Communications, I think, something like that. I've been watching a lot of a certain YouTube channel that's been doing like tech fails, or it's called Tech Tales, talking about success and failure in the technology business from when they started, when they ended, what their big things were, what their small things were, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I've been watching a lot of that channel lately. But at the same time, it's just interesting to see how a lot of these companies, from old tech companies especially, come from long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not necessarily long, long time ago, but long enough that I would
remember. Yeah, right. Exactly. Long, long time ago.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just that kind of thing. Growth. Yeah, exactly.
Technology is on a...
It's on an upscale right now, which is terrifying, but also exciting, in my opinion.
We'll see.
We'll just see how everything goes, right?
When the Blackberries come back, then I think we
Well, they
problem.
Tried.
Did they really?
They tried to bring them back.
Oh, geez.
So it was a smartphone just named the Blackberry, but it had the keypad, like everyone knows a Blackberry for.
Oh, wow.
But it also had the capability of being a touchscreen smartphone.
Hmm.
And this was a few years ago, I think, something like maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago, something like that. They tried bringing them back, but it didn't really work out very well. Yeah, about so. I think something like that. They tried bringing it back, but it didn't work out very well. I mean, it's the same thing with Microsoft and trying to do
the Microsoft
mobile.
Yeah, right.
The Microsoft mobile was a very interesting.
It's kind of
thing.
A dumpster fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it had its shortcomings because I mean Microsoft basically partnered with Nokia to push out these phones with their Windows.
Operating
system on mobile just didn't work out very well because they're coming from like the era of like PDAs and all that kind of stuff where it had like a light version of Microsoft Windows running in the background to smartphones being the new cool thing where everyone had one. Microsoft tried getting into that market and didn't work out very well because I remember that because they were pushing that hard when I was getting to that age of like smart devices.
We have
what?
7 minutes? Six minutes.
All right.
We do.
So all right. Anything super cool. Super cool you may want to.
I was gonna say, did you have any other super things?
Do I dare try talking about this?
I saw that and it's really cool.
So Sean was actually wanting me to talk about this, or he was gonna talk about this today, but I'm gonna try my best to explain it. So imagine satellites, right? So you know, things that help us communicate and all this kind of stuff being shot out by a slingshot.
Not really a slingshot.
Well, that's what I'm going to call it.
Like,
it was a centrifuge. Yeah. Giant centrifuge to fling projectiles into the air, into the upper atmosphere. That's what it says technically, but I imagine it as a slingshot.
It's like this. They have it built to scale right now. I don't think they have a full,
this is
full
this,
built.
No, this is full.
That's,
built.
Oh, are we switching screens?
I think
now?
So. Well, here, I
think
can show
that's,
you.
That's a scale one. I don't think that's
is
as
it
big.
A scale one?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think this is a full-size one, because I think I even watched a video where Sean was actually showing it off. Here, if you want to put that under the camera.
All right.
But this is what it looks like. So it is a vacuum-sealed chamber that will strap a satellite of any manufacturer brand. As long as it can handle up to, I think Sean said something around like 7, 8 Gs, something like that.
8 Gs?
It might be a little too high. I think a little too high, maybe 5. Maybe like 5 or 6 Gs. It needs to handle
a lot more.
It needs to handle that. Well, whatever it was, I don't exactly remember what it was.
It's got
to
be.
It's probably in the article somewhere that I didn't read into yet, but he told me yesterday.
But I mean, if
he may even pop in. It's live, is what Sean said. So this is the live thing that shoots things up into the air, dude.
But it's going to be spinning around in there.
Yeah. So it spins up to speed.
Oh, they did a test a few weeks ago.
Okay. So there we go. But yeah. So basically all this is going to do is it straps it to just, you know, straps the satellite to a chain, wire, whatever it do be, chain, it's whatever
like a,
it is.
It's like a massive tungsten rod, I think.
Something like that. But so basically what it will do, it will just kind of start spinning.
Yeah.
And then it will just make it to a certain point to where they will just hit the launch button and it will kind of just shoot through that exit tube at the top and it will just fly into the upper atmosphere. So we would have satellites popping out and they'll be stronger than what they used to be instead of sending them up by rocket. But it would also be another thing for the ecological ideas of green.
Interesting.
Spin under vacuum to reduce friction.
So what Sean said. Interesting engineering question. So you got this giant pole or rod that's spinning around probably 10,000 plus RPMs.
Yeah.
Right? And suddenly it lets go of this
in the chamber
big piece of weight. Yeah. How does what's left in that chamber not just tear itself apart because of the imbalance?
Like, are you talking about like
the sudden imbalance? Like the actual thing that's shooting the satellite up?
Yeah.
How does as soon as that does not shatter. Other weight go up, how is it not just instantly imbalanced and shattered?
I have no clue. That is definitely something that I would have to read about because I did not read this article very much before I brought it up. But I get what you're saying because once it detaches, it really has no way of escaping.
Would there have to be counterweights?
So there's counterweights.
But a counterweight. So would the counterweight slide alongside, like along the rod? Do you think?
I would guess so. Considering it's a counterweight. Because I mean, counterweights are opposite of what it's supposed to weigh. So it's supposed to be the equal to, right? Or maybe higher.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's how counterweights kind of work. Yeah. So they should be the equal to the same weight, maybe a little bit higher.
As soon as the payload is shot out, it would get
so basically
closer,
the counterweights,
right?
It's
like a wing versus a rod.
So it'd go closer to the center of the rotation.
Kind of.
Because when it gets closer, it weighs.
Because it's kind of like it's on a scale, right? If you think about it on a scale.
Yeah.
If you are trying to balance it perfectly, there's a counterbalance.
Yeah,
right. To try to even it out.
It's a lever.
So basically, what it would do is it would try to counteract the weight of the satellite, whatever it do be, and it will just kind of. So once the weight disperses, it will basically go to zero and it will slow it down, kind of thing.
Yeah, but you can't just like, if you try to stop something that's spinning at even like 700 RPMs, if you try to just like.
Well, it's not just going to kick right off.
Yeah.
It's gonna spin to slow itself down. So basically what it would do is it's just going to kick the motor off or whatever it do
be. So the counterweight would have to be on like a rail or something so that it could move.
Yeah, it's probably going to be on the rod itself.
Well, it would be on the opposite end of the rod.
Yeah.
Not the payload end.
There might be...
Wing.
It spins down over a long time. Okay. Or spins down over a long time. So that's how it's supposed to slow itself down. But the counterweight thing... That's kind of interesting. I should probably look into that a little bit. Maybe
or you just could end up deciding that you're going to talk about it next month.
Yes.
Because you are
exactly. We're what a minute.
Ready.
We are about to end.
We're exactly a minute out from doing this. So, thank you all for watching tonight. Hopefully, you enjoyed all this kind of cool stuff that we talked about. Even though we were going crazy on rants and missing Sean.
Well, and of course, for any people who are receiving in the next few weeks a piece of technology that perhaps they do not know how to use, Charlie is available for 1 hour appointments. You can call and book some time with him. He can help you with your new phone or tablet or laptop, or, and it doesn't have to be brand new. It can be new to you, particularly those new to you things that you get given from a family member that don't come with an instruction book.
Yes.
So please think about coming and seeing Charlie. He can help you. And he said, just set up an appointment and come on in and see him. So it is now 8 o'clock.
Yes. So now we can end it off. So this is Talking Tech. Thank you all for watching, and we will see you next month.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait, hold on. Cole has something.
Remember, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Snapchat. Find the Madison Public Library.
Find all of our social media accounts.
And follow us.
And follow us.
And follow us,
like
please.
Us or subscribe or whatever you need to do.
Or thank you, Sean.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Good job.
Even though we are squirrely and we will forget things, we do try our best to remember the plugins.
All right.
But anyway, thank you for watching. And have a good night.
Holidays.
Have a good night.